You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. Dr. D has been properly caffeinated and mildly sugared up with her traitor.
Pumpkin cookie. Oh, I got to tell you, as I'm driving down here this morning, There's a great Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston song that I think is called It Was, It Wasn't. It Isn't.
All right. We'll find it.
Great. And they're singing together. It's really good.
I love it. So we're doing Aretha versus Whitney. I was looking at a list of Rolling Stone's rankings of top 50 voices in music kind of thing. And Aretha was one and Whitney was two.
Oh, interesting.
So I decided let's do a compare-contrast battle.
And then I love, because, you know, I'm from Motown. Okay.
Yes.
I love, what is it, the Four Tops and the...
Temptations.
That's tomorrow. Yes.
So
that was great. That should be
very, very good. Did you know any of the Four Tops or Temptations in Southern California?
No, but I did. One of my ex-roommates is one of the original Shondells.
See, I'm telling you, there's something.
What can I tell you?
We're going to do a separate podcast. It's just called Joanne in SoCal. It's just going to be about your SoCal adventures. It's rated R. Let everyone know that.
XR. I remember California, though, in the days, the 70s, the 80s, late 70s, 80s, early 90s. And it was totally different.
Absolutely.
Okay. We got a lot to cover today. So, there's your little cheat sheet.
Ooh!
Okay. You know, basically,
it's got yellow highlights on it. This is huge.
Yeah,
I never get yellow highlights.
Because I want to make sure we cover the yellow highlighted ones, okay? And overall, you know, I fell asleep last night with the TV on, which happens a lot. I like background noise. You'd think I was probably incarcerated at one time. You know, people who are incarcerated have a very hard time when they get out of jail silence.
Sometimes when you have a lot of thoughts going through your head constantly.
Yes.
Sometimes the distraction's part of...
You need that white noise. And I just work that way. I need a lot of white noise in the background. Anyways, I woke up this morning. It was on a Lifetime channel television.
Oh, boy.
But somehow it went to one of these proselytizing type, you know...
Oh, a preacher.
Shows.
Online preacher.
Yes. Okay. And it was a female. It's not anything I ever watched. And she was mentioning a story about basically a parable, and talking about how there was this guy who had this donkey, and the donkey was old, couldn't serve its purpose anymore, and so the donkey had fallen in a hole, and the gentleman said, "Well, what can I do? I can go get my friends and help the donkey out of the hole, or I can bury him. You know, just he's had his life, let him go." So he goes and gets his friends and he says, "All right, what we're going to do is we're just going to put dirt on him and bury him."
As a friend of Smooch the Donkey, I wish someone would save that donkey.
Well, what's wrong with it?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyways.
I'm pro donkey.
Well, think about this donkey story. So then they start putting dirt on top of the donkey. And the donkey is shaking off the dirt and, you know, it's going on the ground, and donkey steps on top of the dirt. Well, they put so much dirt on the donkey that he shook all the dirt off, and then it got to the point where he was stepping on the dirt and he could walk out of the hole, right?
Yep.
And I've reflected on that this morning, especially in the context of what I saw Chair of the Board of Supervisors Adelita Grijalva post on Facebook, which is absolutely unconscionable and despicable.
I don't care who you are. I just thought about it. I just said I'm pro donkey because of my love for Smooch. That'll be used in my Republican tribunal that I'm pro donkey. So
yeah. I love it.
He said he was pro donkey.
but you know what I'm getting at is basically two things.
Yes.
When you see, and I heard driving down here, all of the rhetoric, you know, I go back to the Maxine Waters.
Yep.
Okay. You know, when you see them, you go after them. You do this, you do that. And, you know, and then your last listener called in and said,
that's Limberlost Liz.
What do we do to change this? Well, you know, it didn't happen overnight. And many, the comment that you made earlier about the fact of education in the last 100 years, yes, absolutely. And you know, you can track a lot of this back to pre-World War II, most definitely in the 1930s, to the Frankfurt School in Germany. Okay, this has been going on for over 100 years. This is not anything that happened overnight. But what it is we've lost this civil discourse, this civil society. It's a deterioration out of it, yep. It, I should say. And when we say tone down the rhetoric, I thought about the donkey. You know, when you're constantly being attacked, you have to just keep shaking it off and moving up, moving forward. Shake it off, move it up, move forward.
Yep.
You can't, you know, it's so easy. You want to hit back. Sometimes I want to say to whatever party it is, why do you let them get away with that? Okay. The flip side of that, though, is if you retort to it, okay, well, then what are you doing? You're feeding back into a bad system to begin with. And somehow we have to get society where we get to the point where we are no longer, you've got to stop the complete decimation of people, of sides, of discourse, etc. And I'm going to say that when you see examples such as that of what Supervisor Adelita Grijalva did on Facebook.
Matt, she's not going to say the word, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, he already warned me. I can say another one, okay? All right. But when you see that, and then the listener who said, how did we get there? Well, this is a prime example of how you got there. A prime example.
But also,
these are individuals who are supposed to be the pillars of society, of your community.
Self-proclaimed leaders, as we like to say around here.
Yes.
And the other thing I said too, right, was it seems to be on the left that ends justify the means.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what the effects of any of this rhetoric or hate or just craziness that they've done over the last so many years. It doesn't matter. They have it in their brain. We're going to do whatever we can to win all seats of power.
But it doesn't matter. You know, it's the phrase we have out. Okay. we're going to do whatever it takes.
So, Ms. Grijalva, day six of everyone would like to know if your father's still alive, has a thing on her Facebook page. Welcome to Tucson, with a little emoji of like a kiss with a heart kind of thing. And then it has a, basically in Spanish, F tu maga, F your maga, basically in Spanish. And then it says, no más naranja.
No more orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y a todos, and I'm going to say this in Spanish to our listener, a todos que hablen español, que me entienden de lo que estoy diciendo, eso no es correcto. Y esa es una vergüenza absolutamente de lo que, de la gente que hablan español, que son de, por ejemplo, hispánico, de mexicano, porque ese nos da una representación que está mal. Nunca debe estar como esto. Okay.
In the end... What is the best part is that it just shows how ugly. And basically, remember, I said this years ago, they only think they represent the people who voted for them.
Yes.
The rest of you can go yourself.
That's very apparent. That's very apparent.
Right?
Very apparent. Yes. And, you know, to think...
Glue factory signs, by the way.
Oh, that's true. The glue factory, which is the...
Somebody get the phone. I can't do everything.
Glue factory, which is the union
They're shop, selling them. You go to their website, you can buy one.
Is the ones that are printing up these signs. These are the guys who get all the... And I love that. I forgot what news channel did the story. Local company makes money off of political signs. I'm like, you mean the one that's totally the union shop tied to the Grijalvas? I'm shocked.
I just think it's absolutely despicable. And for that, I believe the community, the public, should give censure awards, because you're not going to see anything coming from the Board of Supervisors. You're not going to see anything coming. And that type of behavior should absolutely be censured.
I think tomorrow's call to the audience at the Board of Supes tomorrow is going to be hot, heavy, and contentious.
Well, you know, stop and think about it. Okay. And she is the individual, because she's a chair, who did all of the, basically the threats to people in the call to the public. You can't do this. You can't do that. If you look sideways at me, I'm going to have you arrested. You know, the whole bit. Okay. It's this very threatening, intimidating environment that they've created. Yet what you've now got is someone who basically, I mean.
So here's the thing. If someone said that to her tomorrow.
Oh, they'd be arrested.
That phrase?
They would be. You remember?
Well, they changed the rules. You could be thrown out.
Remember when Sylvia Lee said, I feel threatened.
And then the meeting could be stopped and they could switch to online.
Yes. And Sylvia Lee said, I feel threatened by what was said in the boardroom. Let me tell you something. I feel threatened by what Adelita Grijalva posted on Facebook as a representation of Pima County, Southern Arizona, in creating this rhetoric that is destructive, that leads to this type of rhetoric where you see damage. And I don't care what political party it is, whether it's Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, whatever. When an elected official does this and engages in this type of behavior, they should be held accountable for all of the behavior that falls forward from it.
It's just another indicator of why Pima County is one of the loser counties in the Western United States. Matt, before we go to break, what you got?
I was just going to say, and this is what I always go to as a default, right? Like, so, okay, they say that now Trump is Hitler. He's the big threat. Well, I'm sorry. They overplay this card. They said that Mitt Romney, right? He was like this misogynist, right? The nicest, most middle of the road, you know, Republican, a moderate Republican, and that guy was the enemy of the people back then. What I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to say that Mitt Romney is the end all and be all. What I'm trying to say is that's always the default on the left, right? Every Republican, no matter how moderate or conservative, however you want to say, is portrayed this way. And after a while, you know, they can't all be, you know, threats to society, right?
And the other thing I can argue with you very easily is Donald Trump, who's Hitler, had a more positive effect on every average citizen's lives his 4 years as president.
Sure.
Where she has had Adelita Grijalva herself between 20 years on the TUSD school board and 4 years on the Board of Supes.
As well as coming from a family very heavily involved in politics.
Trump had record low unemployment for minorities.
Yep.
50-year record
including
low
Hispanics,
unemployment.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the highest number of women-owned started businesses the 4 years of Trump, where 24 years of Adelita Grijalva has crushed.
Yeah, what do you got to hang your hat on?
She's
there,
got nothing.
Adelita?
She's got what she has to hang on her head. She can win elections in safe districts, okay? But her effect of 24 years of Adelita Grijalva is crushing students, Hispanic families, women opportunities. Not one. It's not even close.
I just think that when you demonstrate that type of behavior towards the public at the call to the public in the board meetings, you should actually face the same yourself. There's no difference. If you want them to behave a certain way and you give them repercussions for it, well, then we want you to behave a certain way. And if you don't, there's repercussions for it. Elections have consequences.
I think everyone should say this phrase that she put on her Facebook page and see how many she arrests tomorrow.
Yes.
That's what I would do.
Or carry in a sign that says that.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Well, the greatest love of all, Whitney Houston.
What a shame. What an opportunity to have heard her. And experience her music, but what an absolute travesty for a young woman and a beautiful voice.
You are correct. Again, like I said, so many future things that she could have. I was looking forward to see her do as she got older and more mature, and she never got there. Sad to say.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get Bill number one on real quick. Bill, what's shaking, buddy?
The previous conversation with Joanne about rhetoric and whatnot that needs to be toned down. It goes back to something that I've always harped on is civics 101. You have rights in this country, and while folks in the larger environment, the larger dynamic over the last how many ever decades have focused on the rights, they've forgotten the other half of that equation. In a self-governing society, you have rights, but you also have responsibilities to exercise those rights in a responsible manner.
Yep.
You can say and do all the things you want to say and do, but there are consequences. And it's the consequences side that has been completely done away with or excused or, well, no, because I have the right, that excuses behavior X, Y, and Z.
So who's
no,
the
it
so
does not.
There's no but wait a minute, wait there's a minute. No balance to it,
yeah,
right?
You know what? You said something very interesting, Bill, which is I agree with you, but it's also an assumption, and it's not anything that is actually coming to fruition nowadays. And you said in a self-governing society, remember, what we're experiencing right now from the left is very much they want to claim that it's a self-governing society, but it isn't. It's self-governing in the sense that they will tell you what the governance should be.
Yes.
And that's part of when you take that understanding and apply it to what you're talking about, yes, what you're saying makes absolute sense. But it's that issue of, on the left, they want to tell you how you will govern. How you will be governed. You're not allowed to do self-governance. They give the illusion that it's there, but you're not allowed to have a thought on how you should be self-governing.
It's because in a self-governing society, Civics 101 expects all participants to be grown-ups.
Here's the other thing, Bill. As they grow up, parents have abdicated the parenting role. They've abdicated it to K-12 government schools. Right. And what we've learned more than ever in 2024 is there's zero accountability in those schools now. Right. We just covered the TUSD story that a kid was absent 50 times from class and he took a 3-hour credit recovery course so he could get a C or a D or a C and pass the class.
And get him out of the system.
That's all you
just
need to
get
know.
Get him out of the system.
All right, Bill, I got to get the other
Bill
in real before
Thanks,
we
Bill.
Run out of time. Thanks, Billy. Bill number two, what's shaking?
Morning, everybody. Joanne, thanks for everything you do. Before I get started here, Liz's comment about, you know, kind of like she's very, very thoughtful, I think. I've never met her, I don't think, but she's a very thoughtful lady, is where does all this start? Well, if you remember, and then we're going kind of back in history a little bit, not terribly far, but the architect of hope and change and the first black president in America said, if you bring a knife to the fight, we'll bring a gun.
Yes.
So what kind of a representation is that for people to hang on? You know, what's her face? Nancy Pelosi and all these. I mean, they say these things, and they just, it's like it's no big deal.
Well, they say these things, and then they turn around in just the same minute and say, but you know what? Those MAGA people, they need to cut down on this rhetoric. And again,
yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, Democrat, Republican, left, right, whatever it is. It's just you cannot sit there and criticize someone for the exact same thing that you are doing.
And they can because they have the media behind them to back them up. That's why it gets
because
away.
Because they dictate the governance.
Yep. See you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to get into the agenda with Joanne when we come back. Little R-E-S-P-E-C-T going out. You're on Wake Up Tucson.
Is that what they're going to say in the boardroom tomorrow?
Yeah, they're gonna dance tomorrow. Jonathan Hoffman has a great one here. He just texted me, freedom is not picking your dictator.
Which goes with what Bill said as far as self-governance. Okay.
All right, we got a half hour
All
to
right.
go.
Okay, let's do this. We've got a couple items. I'm just going to mention them briefly. First one is agenda item number 15. This is in regards to election integrity. You know, I was going to synthesize this and talk about it, but basically what it is, you know, Pima County has this election integrity group. The state under the governor's office put together this election integrity group. Well, our election integrity group took a look at the 16 or 12 proposals, whatever, of the state's election integrity. Okay. Basically what it boils down to this.
I just love putting those two words together.
Yeah. Election and integrity.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oxymorons. Okay. What it boils down is this. We need more money to run election integrity into the proposals that we have. And what we want to do is we want to, these are the recommendation proposals coming out.
Yep.
We want to go back to the state and tell them that they need to fund this. Okay. Instead of the county's funding. So what I pick up out of election integrity is the state's going to say, okay, and then pass the cost on, and it's going to be part of the state shared responsibility. That's what you're going to find in this whole long rhetoric going on there, okay?
Oh, boy.
Answer. Okay, number 16. And I'm going to tell you, if you're in the boardroom tomorrow, and if you're in the boardroom anytime, that the county does the monthly financial report. It's agenda item number 16. Remember, there used to be a report always hyperlinked in the agenda.
That's right.
There is no longer a report. Makes me wonder if they're a little upset about us talking about the budget. But I am going to say this. Someone asked me, what do we do about the sheriff's office and the constant over budget? And my recommendation is this, and it's to any department. It's actually to any, I don't care if you're a business, government, operation, whatever. But when you consistently see overages like this year after year, what you have to do is you have to go back to what's called zero-based budgeting. You scrap everything that was there, and you literally reconstruct and create the budget from penny one.
Right.
And then you see what you really need. The way we do our budgets right now, we just take the prior years and add 10% to it. I'm sorry, that's sloppy, that's lazy, and that's not accountable to taxpayers' money. Okay? And anybody who does it, and Pima County has done that for years and years and years and years. So two things I'm going to say. One, Jan, go back to zero-based budgeting for this year's budgeting. Yes, that will take time, but I'm pretty sure your budget department can handle that.
No, it can't. Are you crazy?
I know they can handle it, let me tell you. Okay.
Also, spiritually, a Democrat would never do zero-based budgeting.
Because it would unveil the truth.
Yeah, you can't.
Of what's going on. Okay. And the other is, I'm sorry, but when you do not hyperlink these reports on the agenda.
Looks like you're hiding something.
You're hiding information. Okay. There's no reason for you not to hyperlink this. And remember, I'm going to say also, Arizona open meeting law, put that copy there.
That's interesting. That's right.
Yeah. Put that copy there.
So is it that the finance department can't get it done in time? Is that what's going on? Like literally they were working on it yesterday?
I want to be fair to them. I want to be fair to them.
Maybe Jan's just not linking it first.
I think they're tired of getting beaten up. That's my own opinion.
So the question is, does this, you know, when you're going to do you're going to publicly notice a monthly financial report and you're no longer putting the supporting material.
That's
is that,
right.
That supporting material, is that an obfuscation of the open meeting law?
You could very much look at that. Now,
all right. We have friends at Goldwater.
If they turn around and say, well, we have copies available in the clerk of the board's office. Okay, that's one thing. Okay. And you know what? And I tell you, I forgot to mention this. I just found out about this too.
Yeah.
The supervisors do not get copies of the financial report. I mean, this is insane. Jan Lesher, Adelita, get your act together. You're the supervisors. How in the world they don't get copies of it?
We have a 1.9 million, whatever the heck the budget is, billion budget, and they're not getting copies of the financials?
No. Not before the meeting. They're treated just like us, I guess. Yeah.
The title is supervisor? They supervise?
I don't think you know what meaning of that word.
I mean, I would love for somebody to explain. In fact, I think I'm going to have to go back and do a question to the supervisors today. Okay, is that if you're not getting the monthly report and it's only being given at the meeting, that means you have no ability to question, analyze, whatever. Okay. I'm sorry, that's called dereliction of duty.
So we have some people who listen to the show who do participate in the farmer's market with the heirloom guys.
Oh, yes.
So I just noticed you have on your thing that they're getting their contract renewed.
5 years. Oh, this is a good one. I know this one by heart. I don't even have to look at the paperwork. Okay, it's item number 26, heirloom farmer's market, which I have nothing against. I like the fact that I believe there are 25 different type booths of businesses that come there, sell their products on weekends. Okay. And it's an addition of $110,000 over a five-year period of revenue, which equates to about $22,000 per year. Now, they do not have to pay for parking. They do not have to pay for utilities, nothing. Okay. They're only charged $22,000 per year if you look at the contract. It's $110,000 over a five-year period.
You're telling me, I'll do this again. $22,000 a year, right?
If you take 110 divided by 52 weeks.
Divided by 52 weeks.
In a year. It's $22,000 a year.
So it's $423
yes!
a weekend that they use for that Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, man, I want that deal.
I've known about this for ages.
They're only paying $423 a Sunday.
You look at the contract. It's $110,000 for a 5-year period. Okay. Yes. Yes. And they do not have to pay for parking.
So basically we have the.
That's what I'm telling. Can I say the word? Pricing is screwed over and over and over, over and over and
She's
over.
She's being sensitive to you.
I can't see Matt. He's in back.
Thank you, Joanne.
I'm going to put a mirror right here.
Yeah, do a reflection.
I need a Joanne mirror.
I mean, they pay no utilities, okay? You think people there don't have to use the bathrooms? Of course they do, okay? Right?
$423 a week for the Heirlooms Farmer Market at Rito. I mean,
that's what the contract says.
I mean, they make that back. To cover that, that's like, what, 3 vendors? Everything else on tap is just pure gravy.
Usually it's about $100 a booth a week. I don't know. It doesn't say.
I know one of our listeners is there on a Sunday. Please let me know.
Yeah.
Message me privately.
Be really interesting, okay? Now, let's go through a couple of these quickly. Item 27, this is great. YMCA, they need new pool filters. They cost $288,000. The county is going to pay for 50% of the pool filters. Okay, again, that's a county type. Okay, fine. Every time we run across one of these, I'm going to talk about how horse racing gets screwed. Okay? That's another screw job on horse racing. Okay, let's go through. I do want to do this. It's items 21, 22, and 23. They're all for contracts for like opioid funding.
Okay.
Okay, now remember, I've posted pictures of all of the drug use, and it's pretty much, you know, opioid-based at Rito.
Correct.
In the soccer bathrooms. I'm sorry, but you parents who allow your kids to go play soccer at Rito Regional Park on the soccer side, and those schools who hold their physical education classes there, are you out of your minds? Have you gone in and seen the condition of those bathrooms, of those facilities that are required to be cleaned up every single morning by county workers who are only given a pair of gloves and spray bottles? No masks, nothing. And I've posted the pictures of
those. Those pictures are disgusting.
Absolutely. But let's go to these items.
Where's Dr. Cullen, who's always worried? I mean, she's got people swimming through the poop looking for COVID. Why? Where's our health director?
Yeah, where's our wall of shame on our bathrooms?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's what we should do. We should have a wall of shame for the Pima County Park Facility bathrooms.
We'll do a Facebook page for that.
Yeah. Okay, so now we've got over $600,000 between three contracts going towards opioid funding. I took a look at each one of them. They have a common denominator. $600,000. It's for reentry. It's reentry people. Okay. So basically, when you're reentry, you've been arrested or something like that. You're coming out of jail, etc.
Right.
You're going back into society. What that means then is this: all those people in the parks who are using the drugs, putting the aluminum foil balls on the bottom of the bathroom floors, those are not reentry people. They haven't been arrested.
Right.
Okay. And I'm looking at this and I'm like going, but you're not addressing the problem. Okay. You're spending $600,000 for reentry, but the problem goes far beyond the reentry. These are people who've been captured and put into, you know, incarceration and coming out, and you want to help them adjust to society, et cetera. I'm all for that. But the bigger problem that you have are those that you can't touch, that I'm sorry, the city police don't want them in their vehicles because they smell so bad. Well, I went there.
Also, you can get the fentanyl contact high off of something.
Well, also, you can get scabies and everything else that's associated.
And they know that Conover won't
prosecute
if there's less than 10 fentanyl tabs on them.
Yes. So I want District 1 parents who pay for their kids to play soccer. I want you to go, instead of going at night after they clean up the bathrooms during the day, I want you to go there in the morning. I want you to see the filth, degrading conditions of those park bathrooms. And that's where you send your kid.
Before we go to break, one of our Pima County employees that listens to the show said, why hasn't someone called OSHA?
It has.
Oh, OSHA has been called.
Yes. I found that out.
And?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. We got to go to break. One more segment with Dr. DeFilippo, Brother Joe coming up at the top of the hour. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're going to do, Joanne has the latest chart of how much money Pima County has, just from FEMA.
Oh, and this is not my chart. This is a county's chart.
County chart on how much money just from FEMA they've blown on illegal immigration.
Now we call them non-citizen migrants.
And then we got a procurement appeal of decision.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one.
All right, okay. Let's do that too. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson. All right. Matt was banging this out on the other side of the glass.
He
was,
I could feel it on my back.
He was shaking the moneymaker back there. It was awesome.
Oh, I like that. What a phrase. Shaking the moneymaker. Okay.
Hey, real quick, the two things. I think Steve, Noah made the point that Rex and Hines should remove her as chair after saying supporting the
bad word.
It's
behavior
thing.
That is not appropriate for a chair or a board of supervisor.
I think Steve
period.
Christie needs to suggest that she needs to be censured or thrown out of the chairwomanship.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things is that there are people who have said, why didn't the Democratic Party, why aren't they censuring her like they did to Sharon Bronson?
Oh, right?
Correct.
Okay, remember that? Okay, but here's the answer why. Because Adelita, you know that comment that our listener said previously about self-governance?
Yep.
Okay, that's exactly what it is. That's why they won't do it. Because the Democratic Party believes in this destructive behavior and language that is being promulgated out in the public. Therefore, and it's what you said earlier, I was driving here, how the media, I mean, you couldn't get this far if the media wasn't complicit in promoting this.
You just inspired a thought in my brain. So last summer when me and some of our friends went to the Rex Scott Town Hall at the Oro Valley Library, and I nailed him on video about how he raises taxes, in that he kept on talking about school children that he would visit would talk about, why are things so angry in politics? Why do we have to talk mean to each other?
And Rex did this?
This is Rex telling the story. So yeah. Rex, just to, maybe you can mitigate that you're not a fraud as much as I think you are, right?
And do the right thing.
So if you're going to say, oh, the little kids at school, because I used to be a principal, are saying, why are people so mean? You need to need to censure / kick her out of the chairwomanship for this.
Absolutely.
One.
She has proven to this community, and again, it is not any one political party, but that is not behavior that is conducive to the individual who holds the position of chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, period.
Just to make tomorrow, I told you tomorrow's going to be spicy at this board meeting.
Yes.
Right? With this whole F your MAGA thing with Adelita. Josh just sent me the Tucson Crime Free Coalition and Dr. Richard Carmona are going to hold a press conference at the historic Pima County Courthouse at 11 o'clock tomorrow. In the morning.
Wonderful.
And it's going to the fentanyl crisis, increase in sexual assault cases, homicides, as well as dangers, talking about different serious issues within the sheriff's department. So this is Carmona is going to come out on a press conference tomorrow and smack nanos. That's exactly what's going on tomorrow.
And it should.
Be ready.
It should.
Be ready for that. All right. I know we got two things. We got about 5 minutes.
Okay. We've got the Homeland Security, the funding. All right.
This thing's unbelievable.
This is item number 33. And this is a chart. It's attached to the documentation. It actually download this. This is worth its weight in gold. Total awards to date, $117,695,999.55. This is an eye-opener like you cannot imagine. And the first funding actually goes back to April 1, 2021, and it carries through now till December 31, 2025. It is, if you want to know why your community, okay, this chart here is the explanation of why your community is falling apart.
Why is it the explanation, Joe?
Because of the fact it's a diversion of the resources that we really should be using in our communities. It's
correct.
Not just Pima County. It's everywhere.
So since April of 2021, Pima County has blown $117,695,999. That's a hell of a number on the illegal immigrant.
Which is inclusive of $400,000 towards the laundry business. Okay. The double entendre laundry business. Okay.
Laundry, yes. Laundering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the best. Okay.
And I mean, I just look at this and it is like, it is absolutely, it's unbelievable to think. And mind you, this is just one small community. One small community.
So one of the things that we do, and you're definitely part of this on the show, right? We're connecting dots, right? And yeah. You see how things just keep going the same way. Like I my exasperation Friday was, can any of these people surprise us anymore? Because they keep doing the same thing. They keep screwing the same people, right? Just do the right thing.
It's not a surprise. It's just a validation of what you've been saying.
So the laundry business.
Oh, la lavanderia.
All right. That goes 12 months earlier, you're on this show talking about the state auditors doing their presentation about sub-recipient monitoring, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the same jokers, right? They haven't changed, right?
Same people.
Regina Kelly's still there, Grants and whatever, blah, blah, blah. The same people are in finance. And what happens?
Nothing. Nothing happens.
And they start paying bills from the laundry people. The laundry people were sending invoices to them before they were ever established as a business.
Yes. I believe 2 months before.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. All right. We got one more. This procurement thing, we got 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. So what I'm going to say is this. I honestly believe, Jan, you need to take a look at your procurement department. Okay. This is item number 48. Now, I'm just going to, it's an appeal of a decision. It's really interesting. And again, you can only go by the documentation that's attached, okay?
Yep.
And this guy's making a claim. He's obviously had the contract for Pima County for landscaping for quite a long time, okay?
What company is this?
yeah. And so,
she's just laughing
I think Arcadia.
Arcadia? Okay.
I think it's Arcadia. I don't have the paperwork in front of me. Okay. But anyways, And I can sympathize with this gentleman when he's the CEO of the company who wrote the letter. And he said, look, he said, you know, we're told that, you know, references weren't included, et cetera, but they are. He goes through and explains everything in the letter. What I say to this, and this is from my own experience with the Pima County Procurement Department, of which I'm still waiting for a response from Jan Lesher. I still have not gotten a response from Jan Lesher as to how something could be done in the bid for horse racing following the same procedure that was done in affordable housing, yet the horse racing is called its attained bid, and it had nowhere near what happened in affordable housing. I'm going to say this. I am sorry, but I have been in procurement, federal, state, county, city, town procurement for over 30 years. You do not have draft RFPs and draft RFQs put into commissions where you have conflicted commissioners. They're draft documents. They're not officially posted yet, but they're the draft documents that are posted on the internet. And then you hold a competition after you've exposed these documents, after you've had conflicted members who are allowed to, this is right out of the county attorney's office, they're allowed to sit in the room, but they can't participate in the discussion. Are you kidding me?
I'm reading the appeal from the guy who's the owner of Arcadia.
Yes.
And I guess what happened was they originally, the procurement dismissed his letter of protest on August 15th. So now he's got to go over their heads to this situation. It's interesting because he's talking about how, you know, the lowest responsible bidder, he believes they are.
Well, they usually do give a ranking of how the bids came in. So you know who is first, second, third, fourth, whatever. Okay. When you start looking at those documents, it's pretty obvious that there are things going on that need to be investigated, which takes us, we're going to close on this. Supervisor Christie, thank you so much. He put on the agenda, it's addendum number 5, the AG's investigation to I call it the sheriff's mess.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know what Christie's going to say because it's not included in the memo, but I believe Christie may be saying, wait a minute, how can the Arizona Attorney General's office be making some type of a comment about an investigation when Nanos is saying the investigation hasn't even taken place yet? Amen.
Great work today, my friend. Good job.
All right.
The
thank
great
you
Joanne
so much.
DiFilippo. Okay. She was well worth the pumpkin cookies today.
Oh, those were good.